Welcome to episode 16 of So Unbecoming. I'm your host, Jamie Muskoff. Thank you so much for being you and being here. Today, my guest is a great friend of mine. She's veteran, speaker, and nurse practitioner, Elise Salamone. In our conversation, Elise shares her thoughts on goal setting, something I know from personal experience can help us no matter what we're trying to achieve, and especially when we're attempting to map out a career plan. Earlier this year, I went to a lean-in workshop she hosted, which was inspiring and transformative, and ever since, Elise has been speaking to audiences, most recently as a hashtag IAmRemarkable facilitator. We recorded this episode quite a while ago when I was still living in Washington State, where Elise currently resides, and I might have been a little excited about finally getting to chat with her on the show. I know you'll enjoy getting to know her as well, so let's jump into my conversation with veteran, speaker, nurse practitioner, and advocate, Elise Salamone.
So I'm very excited to finally have you on the show, Elise. I feel like a stalker and I'm always bothering you to try to get you on my podcast, but I'm so excited for you to be here. You're such a great leader and role model in our community. And so before I keep talking about you, I would love for you to talk about you and give us a little background on who you are, what your name is, where you're from, where you're living now, and what you're doing.
Well, hi, Jamie. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I love, love your podcast. I think you have an amazing voice and an amazing platform. So my name's Elise Salamone, and I was born in Puerto Rico, raised in Connecticut by a single mom. I'm the oldest of three girls, and at 18, I enlisted in the Army, did 3 years in the Army, and then I got out, went to nursing school, got married, had my son. And then I got commissioned in the Army Reserves for about a year. And then during that time, I really wanted to come back on active duty. So then I followed an Air Force recruiter and then got my commission in the Air Force in 1995. Mm-hmm. And deployed to Afghanistan. I had two deployments under my belt, one combat tour. And in 2014, I got promoted to Lieutenant Colonel. And shortly after that, I retired in 2014. And I retired as a Lieutenant Colonel and as a women's health nurse practitioner. I took a job at Madigan Army Medical Center after my retirement and then moved from Colorado Springs, which was my last duty station, to here, Tacoma, Washington. So now I'm in Tacoma, Washington, and I am speaking and advocating for nursing professionals and the military community. And then I'm also working as a medical practice manager and nurse practitioner at the Puyallup Tribal Health Authority, which is a local Native American tribe that has a beautiful clinic and a beautiful organization where they're taking care of their Native American family and organization. So, so there you have it.
I love that. I love that. And we could probably talk all day about all the good things that you do professionally. I mean, just as a veteran who is advocating for other women veterans, I think that there's so much there. And I know you're talking about that on a different podcast, which I'm excited to hear on Women of the Military. Shout out to Amanda Huffman.
Yeah. But
we are here today to talk specifically about goal setting, because I had the great pleasure of attending a couple of goal setting sessions with you specifically as part of Lean In Seattle, or now Lean In Tacoma, right?
Yes.
And, and since my audience specifically, I mean, there are a lot of different kinds of people in the audience, but honestly, it's people, military spouses who are looking to return to the workforce. It is military spouses who maybe already are in the workforce and are looking to grow and get to the next level of their career. I would love for you to talk a little bit more about goal setting and why it's important for us as military spouses specifically to be doing that as we're planning to return to the workforce or planning to go to that next level in our career.
Well, let me first say that I think I've always been a goal setter. I think that's one of the reasons I've accomplished so much in my life, despite all the adversity and diversity and challenges I've had. I think it's important because when you set a goal, if you put it to paper and verbalize it and put it out there to the world, then you have no other choice but to act on it. And I've helped a lot of friends and a lot of family members with goal setting. And I think once you set the goal, then you need to just set the plan. And once you set the plan and just start taking little actions towards them, then eventually you can reach that goal. And you may have some setbacks here and there, but the point is just to stay clear on your plan, despite setbacks or despite challenges, so that you can meet whatever goal it is that you're trying to meet, whether it's weight loss or, you know, professional goals or family goals or financial goals. But I definitely think that writing the goals down and coming up with a plan and trying to take one step at a time is crucial to for you to achieve whatever it is that you're trying to achieve.
Sure. And maybe we'll go through sort of those steps of goal setting, but I want to go back a little bit because you mentioned right off the bat that goal setting has been a part of your life for a really long time. So I was wondering if you might share a little bit a story of where you feel like you, by doing goal setting activities or, you know, being very purposeful with goal setting, that it helped you achieve something or grow in the way that you wanted to go.
So I think for me, I decided probably my senior year and after getting out of the Army that I really wanted to go back to nursing school. And one of the first things I did is I researched nursing school and what it took to get to nursing school, what I had requirements I needed, and what the market was like. And this was all before internet was a thing. This is, you know, I'm old, so this was when I know, but still, this was like back in like the late 80s, you know, when the internet really was just, you know, really wasn't a thing. So this meant going to the schools and getting their curriculums and figuring out what I already had accomplished and what I needed to accomplish and talking to counselors and then applying and writing essays. And once I got accepted to the school, well, first of all, before I got accepted to the school, you know, I had to do prerequisites. So I knew I had to go to the community college and then use up my GI Bill and take those prerequisites, which included a lot of sciences that I needed to get done. And I took 1 to 2 classes at a time. And I had a newborn. My son JJ was still a baby when I started doing this because he was born in April and I started school, like really started school in August of 1990. And so I set a plan. I set the classes. I organized. I came out with the outline, and I just attacked it. I don't know if it's that Puerto Rican passion or Latina thing, but once I set my goals, once I set my sights on a goal, I am like unstoppable because I like I said, I've always been like that. I've always been a goal setter. And so nursing school is probably one of the biggest first major goals of my adult life. And I knew that I wanted to get a bachelor's, and I started at a community college, got my prerequisites, then transferred to my undergrad, which was Marymount University in Arlington, Virginia. And again, I set out a plan and I went forth and I attacked everything, you know, one day at a time, one task at a time. And I got to tell you, I am not a good student. I've never been a good student. I barely graduated from high school. My uncle still does not believe that I retired as a lieutenant colonel and that I have a master's. You know, he still thinks of me as the little goofball 13-year-old. And he told my mom recently, I was like, I don't believe all the stuff that you guys tell me about Elise, you know? And it's like, listen, dude.
Thanks, uncle.
Yeah. So, and what was great about this is that during me finishing my bachelor's, I also helped my mom. My mom had always wanted to finish her nursing degree, and she moved from Connecticut to Virginia to help me with my son. But also I really wanted to push her to finish her education because for years and years and years, she had been working 2 to 3 jobs, was always going to school, but she just never had the support or mentorship. And once I got on that journey where I was almost done and she had so many college credits already, so she just needed to get focused, she graduated with her RN, her associates, when I graduated with my bachelor's. And after that, then I went and worked at a civilian hospital for a little bit and then eventually got commissioned in the reserves and eventually went into the Air Force. But if I had to look back on my life, I think finishing college and my undergrad in particular was probably one of my biggest first major goals that I accomplished.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So I heard a lot of different things in that when you're telling the story. I heard that you wrote them down. Mm-hmm. You wrote out what your goals were.
Yes.
You checked back in on yourself, you know. yes. You had a vision for what it was that you specifically wanted to accomplish. And the other really awesome thing that I heard in there is that you were doing already back then the thing that you do now, mm-hmm. which is helping other people and taking other people with you. I think that that's such a, you know, a great thing that you do mm-hmm. overall. But I mean, I think that that is another, maybe a key to goal setting is making it not just about you, making it also about, you know, helping others in the process. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I love that. So I wonder if you could walk us through the steps of goal setting, how you sort of approach it. I know there's lots of different ways that people mm-hmm. might approach goal setting, but what's kind of a path? And we did it in the Lean In workshop, but mm-hmm. what's sort of a step-by-step path that people can take when they're starting and they say something like, okay, I want to go back to school and get my degree, or I want to get, you know, back into the workforce. What's mm-hmm. how do you start?
I think, first of all, you need to figure out what it is that you want. I think that's mm-hmm. the key, figuring out what you want, what's your why. And then from there, do the research. I really believe, mm-hmm. and the internet is so wonderful now because you can get online and Google whatever, and you can get a million different resources and ideas and ways to accomplish different things. But then do the research. I think it's really important so that you can prepare and figure out what it is that you need to accomplish to get to that goal. And I actually, midway through my career, I had a friend that she had come over for dinner, and I had asked her, I was like, how long have you been at this duty station? We were both stationed at Andrews. And she's like, 9 years. And I said, what are you doing with your career? And she's like, I don't know. We literally sat that night and we wrote down everything that she wanted to accomplish. And mm-hmm. one of them was that she wanted to go to nurse practitioner school. And I helped her figure out how she could accomplish that through the Air Force. Mm-hmm. And here it is 10 years later, she's a nurse practitioner. She got promoted to lieutenant colonel. She met all her goals. And I know that I had a great deal to do with that, one, because I supported her, but also was a mentor mm-hmm. to her. And I think having someone mm-hmm. be your cheerleader and be your mentor mm-hmm. and hold you accountable is huge. Mm-hmm. I think having mm-hmm. someone that holds you accountable is huge because mm-hmm. once you speak that goal into the world, then you almost have to accomplish it because otherwise it kind of makes you feel bad that you don't, you know?
Right. Yeah. You and know? I do think that it's that one plus up though. It's just, mm-hmm. you know, because these days it's very easy and I'm in this boat, you know, where, and it's sometimes it's worked well and sometimes it's not, where I will speak something into the world on mm-hmm. social media. I'll say, mm-hmm. this is what I'm working on. This is what I'm doing.
Yes.
And I'll be great and I'll be tracking. And then maybe like it doesn't work out so well.
Yeah.
And I think though, the times that it has worked out well, where I have spoken it into the world, is when I've had that one person mm-hmm. that's just behind the scenes that isn't on my social media saying, you mm-hmm. got this or whatever, but really mm-hmm. like in my ear on a regular basis, saying, hey, what's going on? Like, are you doing with that thing? Everything good? Like, and just cheering on. And it's like the real connection with another person.
Absolutely.
You know, definitely matters so much. So I love that. So I love you saying starting with why, which is my favorite thing in the mm-hmm. world. Really connecting with that because ultimately that's what's going to keep you motivated.
Absolutely. And that's what I was going to say. That's what's going to keep you mm-hmm. honest to yourself and keep you mm-hmm. accountable. If you know why you're doing something, you need to know why you're doing something, whether it is mm-hmm. you want professional development, you want more financial security, you want to lose the weight because you want to fit into mm-hmm. those skinny jeans, whatever the why is, having that why is important in order for you to accomplish that goal.
Mm-hmm. All right. So having a why and then being clear, doing your research, mm-hmm. Being clear about what the steps are to get you there, kind of creating a map
yes.
for yourself.
Yes.
Map
for yourself. Yes.
Okay. And then what else? What are some other things? And is it always like stuff you write down or could it be more visual or what are your thoughts on those kind of things?
I think visualization is important. I know when I was having, you know, when I was struggling through courses in nursing school, I visualized mm-hmm. me being successful and walking across mm-hmm. the stage. So I definitely think that that's helped. And, you know, recently I grew up Catholic and recently mm-hmm. I've really kind of gotten in tune in with spirituality again and meditating. And I think that's helpful to Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just have to leave it up to the Lord and figure out that mm-hmm. he's the one that's got the plan, and you just need to kind of mm-hmm. keep working towards that. Mm-hmm. But I think having a support system is really important too, and having mm-hmm. those cheerleaders that are cheering you on and that believe in you when you are having a hard time believing in yourself, or mm-hmm. Or you're just having a rough time, because, you know, with every goal, you're going to have challenges that you're like, oh, I wasn't expecting this, you know? Mm-hmm. Right now I'm having a challenge with my keto and donuts, and I'm like, no, this is poison. This is poison. I'm so proud of myself. Somebody had donuts at work today, and I was bringing them into work. And then on the drive home, I was like, this is poison. I'm throwing this in the trash. And that's exactly mm-hmm. what I did. So see, it's those little wins that you have to like hold on to also, you know, every single time you have a little win. So
yeah, I was going to ask you about that though, you know, because it's the, not the keto and donuts, because I understand. I mean, like the, you know, so through the process, as you kind of write out, okay, here's the steps mm-hmm. that I need to take in order to, do you tend to reward yourself only at the end, or do you kind of, you know, cheer for yourself at each marker, you know, do you have markers?
All the little wins. Hey, mm-hmm. getting in, you know, passing a chemistry was never my thing. Passing mm-hmm. an exam, even if it was just the smallest quiz, was a win. And, you know, mm-hmm. and then at the end of the semester, passing, getting through that course and not beating myself up if I didn't get an A, but I passed it mm-hmm. is huge. And that's for mm-hmm. anything, you know, the fact mm-hmm. that you've lost a pound, even if it's been a pound in a month, at least you lost a pound. You didn't gain a pound. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, whatever your goal is, it's, you have to cheer yourself on, because that's what keeps you motivated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely agree, because I'm definitely the person that is like, tend to have that all or nothing personality, right? So it's like, if I don't get that perfect, or I don't do that all the way. And I'm really having to, I'm finding that graduate school, mm-hmm. doctorate work is actually a really good way to break myself out of that.
Absolutely. Because,
you know, at this point, it's not about, you know, doing everything perfectly or being the perfect student. It's mm-hmm. really about creating and using your own energy to put something new in the world. And that's different. It's a different kind of measurement. And so I find myself being a little bit more giving myself more grace.
Absolutely. And I think as women, we are so bad about that. I don't mm-hmm. know when it became such an epidemic of trying to be perfect. There's no such thing as perfect, mm-hmm. and no path mm-hmm. is straightforward. It's all the little curves in the path to your goals and life that make life interesting. So, mm-hmm. you know, and for you, for someone like you, who you're so dynamic and you do so much, it was like, who cares what grade you got in the paper? It's when you graduate that it's like, hey, I did it. Because no one's going to ask you, hey, what did you get in your research paper? What did you get in your research class? No one gives a crap. Just like they're going to be like, Dr. Jamie so-and-so. You know, that's what's going to be impressive. You know, so I think as women, that's another thing. It's like, you know, trying to have the perfect house, trying to have the perfect kids, and that epidemic of perfectionism is so, it's just so detrimental to our goals and to our life. And mm-hmm. it's just not realistic. It's not realistic. Mm-hmm. There's no such thing as a perfect anything.
Yeah, I hear. I completely agree with you there. All right. So we talked about identifying the why and researching the steps and articulating those steps. We talked about visualizing, celebrating, mm-hmm. The wins, the little wins along the way.
Yes.
Anything else?
I don't know. I think be kind to yourself, and mm-hmm. you know, and sometimes you have to regroup. Sometimes it's just getting to mm-hmm. the next day. Sometimes it's just getting out of bed and taking a shower. Mm-hmm. You know, I think having how we talk to ourselves and being kind to ourselves is a huge thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I agree. Is there anything else that you can think of that people can do for themselves to help them keep progressing or even just managing their goals? Because I think a lot of times, you know, I think another problem people face is too many things at once. One thing that I've been talking about, or I talked about yesterday with this really beautiful younger military spouse who was like, I just am so ambitious and I want to do all these things. And I feel bad that I can't do all these things at the exact same time. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like I'm falling behind. And, you know, I've definitely been in that spot where you just feel like, you know, you think that life is running past you and that everybody's doing all the things and you're not able to do all the things.
Can stop right there. That's the problem. Why are we comparing ourselves to everybody else?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Why are we comparing us to everybody else? And why do we feel like as a society that we have to always be hustling? I just read an article about that last night about we have this epidemic of we always have to be hustling. We always have to be busy. It's like a disease. And it's like, I love nothing more than to have a lazy Saturday or Sunday in pajamas all day and just doing self-care, whatever self-care is for that day. If it's reading a good book, having a glass of wine at 10 o'clock in the morning, because that's what I feel like doing. And not that I do that, but you know, whatever it is that you're trying to do for self-care, then we have to embrace that because that improves our creativity and improves how we think. And being busy all the time and trying to do everything, why do we do that to ourselves? You know, I just went to a conference recently and I spoke about self-care in the nursing professional and giving up things that could be sourced out. And one of the things I've done recently for myself is, and I can't believe it's taking me this long, I hired a housekeeper because I love a clean house, but I hate spending 6 to 8 hours of my day on a weekend when I only get a 2-day weekend spending cleaning my house. And you know what? It's a little expensive, but those are 8 hours that I get back in my life. And that's important. Right. And I have to let go of the perfectionism of, well, no one's going to clean like I do. Well, what? When I walk in and my house smells clean and the floors are clean, hallelujah. You know, I don't have to do the bathrooms. It is such a blessing. So you know, those are the little things that I think we as women, we're so hard on ourselves. And just take time to yourself and breathe. And you don't have to do everything. You know, you just don't have to do everything. Figure out what the priorities are in your life. You know, if your goal is to finish school by, you know, within 3 years, then focus on that and focus on your family and focus on self-care and learn to say no and learn to say no and not feel guilty about it, which is really, really hard because a lot of times we have so many people trying to take from us and we don't have the self-love to just say, nope, can't do that today. No, I'm sorry. I really want to help you, but I can't do that today. And I think that's something that we all need to learn, not just women, not just professionals, but I think we need to learn that it's okay to say no to something when it just doesn't fit in our schedule or we just don't have the energy for it.
What's the thing that motivates you to do that? And how do you think, because we're all busy, right? Yeah, there's all the same 24 hours in the day, but what is the thing that, you know, you could say to people who maybe they feel like, well, I know I'm just barely keeping myself together. How can I help other people? You know, do you have advice for that?
You know, I have always had this thing that I love, and I'm a helper. I mean, I'm in a nursing profession and I'm the oldest. And I said this at the conference this past week. And I said, you know, my mom always tells me that I was born 26. I was never I was never a child. You know, she says you were always born a leader, even when you were a baby, you know. But I really get energized when I help someone and I see them succeed. I get inspired from that. In fact, this is such a great intro. One of the guys that I deployed with just got his nursing license. And he said, thank you for being a part of my journey because you inspired me when we were in Afghanistan to go into nursing. And I think seeing people reach their goals and get fulfilled and knowing that I had a little bit of part in that journey is so, I don't know. It just fulfills me. It gives me, it makes me feel good. It makes me feel like I'm contributing back, even if it's just in the smallest of ways, even if it's just, you know, doing a phone call when somebody's struggling or, you know, or telling them, hey, it's okay if you fail that test, you'll just do better on the next one. How can we get you to fulfill that? Even with my family, I just want people to be the best that they can be. And I think one of the things is that growing up, I saw my mom struggling, but we've always had a support system, either from work or from the community. And that's always stayed with me. And mm-hmm. I think that there were so many times in my life that if I would have had stronger mentorship, that there were mm-hmm. some different decisions that I would have made or that I could have accomplished even more. And mm-hmm. I think when you look at my life, you can say, oh, she's really accomplished. But I'm like, I don't think I've even hit the iceberg. I think I'm just like hitting my stride, you know, mm-hmm. at 52, that I'm just like really starting to have that self-actualization. And mm-hmm. And most people would be happy where they were at if they were me, but I'm just kind of like, no, I haven't gotten quite there yet.
Not you, Oprah.
Yes, yes. I'm going to be the Latina Oprah. So I'm putting that out there in the world.
I love it. Well, so I'm picking out a couple of things that you said and that are really great is that, you know, mentoring other people and helping other people doesn't necessarily mean you're investing a whole lot of time. Mm-hmm. It means maybe you're just making a phone call or sending yeah. a quick message saying, I'm thinking of you or, you know, great mm-hmm. job, or just keeping people, you know, aware of the fact that you're watching mm-hmm. and that you
and
care.
That I'm there. Yeah.
And yeah.
I'm
there. That you're there.
Yeah.
And it's also maybe just having the courage to share mm-hmm. what's going on with you, with other people, sharing Absolutely. Your story, I think is a big deal, because what you said about the man who just got his nursing license, mm-hmm. He said, you inspired me, Elise. Yeah. And so yeah. inspiration doesn't come from direct mentorship and spending a lot of time. It comes from other people mm-hmm. seeing you do your thing.
Absolutely.
And not just doing it perfect, like we've mm-hmm. said, but going through it and struggling and, yep. you know, and sharing what was good and what was bad. So yeah. just being who you are, I think, is also a way of giving back.
Yeah. Being authentic. Being authentic. Right. And you know what's so cool about that story too, that I have three soldiers. One was an Australian, actually two Australian soldiers, and one, two Army soldiers that went to nursing school because they felt inspired by watching me at work and doing my thing. Mm-hmm. And that was not intentional. I was just doing my thing. And there was many times in Afghanistan that I was thinking, what the hell am I doing? I don't know what mm-hmm. I'm doing. This is so out of my comfort zone. So you never know who you inspire with what you say, how you storytell, or how you present yourself to the world. And mm-hmm. That inspiration, I consider that mentorship, because whether you mm-hmm. do it intentionally or not, you are inspiring someone. And I think part of mentorship is inspiring others to do better or to be mm-hmm. better or to follow their goals or follow their dreams.
Sure. And I'll add, because I had a great experience yesterday of sharing my own story. And the great part of the experience, though, was afterwards, so many women coming up to me saying, I'm so glad that you shared your story mm-hmm. because I felt like you were talking about me. And mm-hmm. those are the things that just make my whole head light up with mm-hmm. my whole self mm-hmm. Just feel amazing, you know? So one of the things I think that we can do for each other also is tell people who inspire us that, yeah, thank you for sharing your story.
Absolutely.
And telling them, yeah, because of something you did or something you said, mm-hmm. it really made a difference in my life. If that's, you know, genuinely, of course, mm-hmm. you know, but not holding back. Cause I think sometimes I get really embarrassed to tell people you were amazing, because I think, oh, they're amazing. Like I don't want to tell them how amazing they probably know already. But I honestly think that people who are people you look up to, you should tell them.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks, everybody needs those words of encouragement, yeah. you know, and you yeah. never know, like there could be someone that you say that to who's having a really burnt out day. Who's like, why am I doing this? And you saying mm-hmm. that makes them realize, hey, I made a difference in someone's lives today, you know, mm-hmm. and you never know who you're going to do that for. You never yep. know. So it's always like that whole almost suicide prevention theme, like, you just happen to call somebody because you were thinking about them and they tell you, you know, you just saved my life today because you reached out. Mm-hmm. You just never mm-hmm. know how you're just reaching out to someone or telling mm-hmm. them kind words, how that may make a difference. That may make a difference in their lives that day.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just can't tell you enough how much I appreciate you.
Oh, well, it is mutual, girlfriend. I have a girl crush on you. I think you're a badass.
I think the feeling is mutual. I cannot sing your praises enough, and I cannot love all the things you're doing, and you inspire me Certainly every day. And I think a lot of people will be inspired by you talking about your story and your methods for goal setting. And I'm just so grateful that you're willing to take the time to share that with my amazing, awesome, outstanding military spouse community. I love them to death and I love you. Yes. And I'm just, thank you for being here today. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me. And to our military spouse community, you girls, hang on. You guys are a bunch of badass women. So just lift each other up and hang in there and reach out when you need help. I think that's another thing for this community is learning to reach out when you need help. Mm-hmm. Don't stay silent.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Elise, for your time.
You're welcome.
I hope you had as much fun listening to my conversation with Elise as I did having that and every conversation I get to have with Elise. She's an incredible mentor and friend and a really dynamic speaker. I encourage you to connect with her on LinkedIn, let her know that you heard her on the show, and check out what she's been up to. I'll have her contact information in the show notes. It's nearing the end of 2019, and I've got quite a collection of episodes to release before we ring in the new year, so check back in for my conversations with Jamie Chapman, Marla Bautista, Lacey Langford, Dina Janicki, Rachel D'Ambra, Angela Odom, Jems Collins, and Kendra Burns. You can connect with me on LinkedIn or connect and listen to the show at sounbecoming.com. Thanks for listening. I'll catch you next time on So Unbecoming. Bye for now.